The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
So today's a big day. We're wrapping up our series, Living to Last. And I wanted to share something with you that you may not know about me. It's kind of a big deal, actually. So I am a world record holder. Now, you may not know this about me. I'm pretty humble, so I don't like to share about it too much. But I thought I would today. I mean, I hold the world record. It's not formally sanctioned because that's all politics and, you know, you got to grease the wheels. And don't get me started on the Guinness Book of World Records, okay? They weren't interested in this feat. But in high school, I accomplished something that I know that nobody else in the world has ever accomplished. In high school, my friend Matt and I, best man at my wedding, that was after high school, we spent an entire night crafting with our own hands the world's largest coaster. Now, not like a roller coaster, that's a little bit beyond my expertise, but coaster, you know, like grandma makes you put down under your tea when you're at her house so you don't stain the table, right? Anybody impressed with that? I was impressed. So anyway, I think we were doing some construction at home. My dad was doing something, some kind of renos. And so we had a whole bunch of building supplies in the garage. And we were looking at it saying, what should we do? Now, I grew up in a small town called Dorchester. Not Dorchester over here, but Dorchester, New Brunswick. And there wasn't a lot happening, right? So we decided to spend the night building. And it was like a wood base. And it was covered with carpet. It was like 20 feet long. Why? It was misshapen and ugly, but we're kind of going for a postmodern look, so it worked, and it was the world's largest coaster. And I defy you, Google it. You can't find a bigger coaster out there, right? I hold a world record. It's amazing. I'm very proud of that, actually. You know, and even now, with my buddy Matt, you know, sometimes he lives out in Victoria, out in BC. And sometimes when we're chatting on the phone, we'll talk about some of these old stories or he'll reference something that I've totally forgotten about that always makes me laugh. But this coaster one is one that always gets a lot of traction in our communications, in our chats. You know, and as I think about that and I think about other stories from in the past, I recognize something. All of the best stories, all of our best memories involve other people, right? If you think back into some really significant events in your life, very rarely is it just you alone doing something. Why? Because we're relational creatures. God has made us that way, right? When we see something beautiful or experience something amazing, we want to share it with other people. And when we invite other people into that experience, we enjoy it all the more because we're exposing other people to it. We are relational beings. God has made us that way. I mean, if you think about newborn babies and the importance that networking and connecting and affection and touch plays in their development, or you look at those who live well into the blue zone, right? Those people who live to 100 years. Relationships always factor in. We are relational beings. God has made us that way. In the beginning, God makes man, and he says it's not good for man to be alone. So he makes a wife for him, and they come together. We are relational beings, and we experience joy, and we flourish as individuals best when we are connected. And so today, as we wrap up the series of Living to Last, we're looking at why you and I can't do it alone. Why we need community. We cannot do it alone. So let me recap for those of you who haven't been with us over this series. And you can catch up online, go to our website, check out the podcasts. Check us out on Facebook. We usually post the sermons, I think, on Tuesday. But for 5 weeks, we've been looking at this idea of living to last. The first sermon was all about life is hard. We have to expect that. When you face difficulty or suffering or hardship, you are not the exception to the rule. That's the norm. We live in a broken world. We need to anticipate that and be ready for that. In part two, we looked at how we can have confidence. If you are a follower of Christ, you can have confidence that you will endure, that you will persevere, not because of your own effort, although your own effort is involved, but because of what God has done for you and in you. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross and his literal resurrection from the dead, our sins can be forgiven. And not only are our sins forgiven, but we are given the Spirit that helps us obey, that empowers us to follow and to honor Christ with our lives. Part three was all about not getting lost. If you're going to live to last, you've got to be in God's book. Part four was about prayer and the role that that plays in living to last. And today we're looking at why none of that can be done in isolation. Why we have to be in community. So living to last means living in community. Okay, that's the first fill in the blank in your worship guide if you're that kind of person. Who's like, I've heard nothing until I get the first answer and then I can relax a little bit. Right? God bless you. I'm not marking these after, right? Although sometimes I do go around. Just, you know, I don't go around and clean after every service. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, that much of a humble servant. But I go and I find them and it's like, oh, I wonder what this person, oh, no, they just drew the entire time. I'm hoping that was a child. I don't blame them. Right? But so that's your first fill in the bank. Living to last means living in community. You can't do it alone. You want to live to last. You want to endure. You want to make it in your walk with Christ. You cannot do it alone. Why? Why is it so important? I'm going to give you three very simple answers today of why community is so important. Here's the first one. Living to last means living in community because that's where we find love. I know love is an overused word. I know that it gets a lot of attention, but it's usually ill-defined. The truth is that you and I are individuals who require and need and will have longing to experience love in some form. You see, we find the love, the care, the support that we desperately need when we face hard times best when we're in community. Life is hard. We've established that. We face difficult things as we go on. And look at what Jesus says here. Look at what he says is going to characterize our community. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So what Jesus is saying here is that our community, Summerside, our family here, is to be a community of people that live out love. That live love out with intentionality. That are deliberate in our call to love. That we don't say we love, and that's where it stops, but we actively seek for ways to love one another. We are to be a community that is united in relationship. A community where we obey Christ's command, and a community where we love. I mean, think about it. Health problems. Financial struggles. Loneliness. Addiction. Broken relationships. You're moving and you need help packing boxes. Right? Your roof needs to get done. You're pulling in some favors. Right? At some point, you are going to require support. You are going to require care. You are going to require love. Life is hard and you will face speed bumps. So where are you going to find that kind of support? And where are you going to find that kind of love? Heather and I just had a baby recently, right? I'm not much of a cook. Like, I can manage, but it's exhausting. I don't mind, like, okay, I'll make beans and eggs, and I love it, and I'm happy with it, but I'm not Mr. Whipping Up Casseroles, right? When we had a baby, and I know some of you have experienced this, individuals from the church just providing you meals. And if I have one of your casserole dishes, just come talk to me. It's a little crazy with a new baby, forgive me, but I'll get that back to you. But you know what I'm saying, right? We all face situations in life that we require love. And that's what the community that God has placed here is for. You can't do it alone. You're going to face speed bumps. You're going to face hardship. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to need other people at some point in your journey. And we as a community, Jesus says, are called to be a community that love each other so well that it is a witness and it is a testimony to those outside the church that something unique is going on here. That something special is happening here because of the love that we have for one another. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says this. He says, bear one another's burdens. I think that's a great way to picture this. Life is hard. Life is difficult. And sometimes you get beaten up and sometimes you carry a burden. And Paul says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Right? Jesus is questioned one day. The religious teachers come to him and they say, okay, this Old Testament, they didn't call it old at that point, mind you, but they look back at the laws of Moses and they say, boil it down for us, Jesus. Give us the Cole's notes on what this was all about. And Jesus says, love God and love others. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. We are called to be a community that does that. Called to be a community that bears one another's burdens. Maybe you are here and you require that. You're carrying a burden. Or maybe you're here and you recognize that you can play a role in easing somebody else's burden. Let me encourage you, when you step out in faith and obedience and you love well, you are proclaiming the gospel through your actions. You are demonstrating the truth of the gospel through your actions to the world that is watching. We cannot do it alone. We have to be in community because that's where we find love. Maybe you're there right now and you're feeling a little beaten up. I'm glad that you're here. And I hope and I pray that God's people here at Summerside will love you well. Second thing, living to last not only means living in community because we find love, but it means living in community because that's where we actually grow best. Okay? Level one, if you want to grow as a Christian, is go to church. Right? That's the first step. Right? The second step is read your Bible and pray. Pretty basic, right? Pretty simple. But community, being with other people, opening yourself, being a part of the church rather than just an attender of the church is where growth begins to accelerate. I'm thankful for all the people that God has placed in my life over the years that have helped me grow as a follower of Christ. Right? Maybe you're the same. Maybe there are individuals who discipled you, who just cared for you, who maybe bought you a resource or a book or exposed you to something or prayed with you. Like, look for those and thank God for those. I'm thankful for all of that I've experienced. But it's hard to grow in community because the truth is, if you're going to grow in community, you have to open yourself to community. Right? And that can be hard. That can be difficult. And that can be scary. I'm glad that you're here today, obviously, right? I'm glad that you come and that you, you know, study the Bible with us, that you sing these songs together, that you, you know, you learn as best you can. I'm very thankful for that, but I want to challenge you. It may be a little bit out of your comfort zone. It may be a little bit of a stretch for you. But when the service is done, I want to encourage you. Don't just split from here as fast as you can. Now, obviously, if you've recognized that you left one of your kids at home or, you know, that there's an emergency, nobody's going to judge you. But you can only grow in community when you open yourself to community. And that's risky. And that's scary. And maybe you've had a bad experience before, right? Early on when Heather and I were married, I can remember talking to a couple. They were a pastor and his wife. And his wife said something that really saddened me. She said, you know what, be very careful not to, and try your hardest, essentially, not to open yourself to the church that you're serving in. Because you never know how they may hurt you. Be very careful with confessing your sins or struggles. That's sad. One of my buddies is a pastor on the East Coast, and we were talking once, and he mentioned that he was sharing in a sermon about, you know, just a struggle that he and his wife had, like a fight that they had had. And somebody after the service made a beeline towards him and said, you shouldn't share those kinds of things because it makes, you know, people uncomfortable. Right? Think about that. You don't need a perfect pastor. You have a perfect Savior, right? None of us are perfect. I'm not, clearly, right? Just ask my wife. Oh, she's loyal, though. She'll defend me. I'll be honest. Right? Not perfect. But the gospel gives us freedom to open that up and to say, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to open myself to community so that I can grow. You can't be a follower of Christ without help. You're not meant to do this on your own. More than once, I've had couples come see me for some kind of marital advice. And they sit down and they begin to share. And there is so much contempt, so much hurt, so much brokenness, so much betrayal of trust that I sit there and I wonder, why didn't you reach out before this point? Why did you let it get so far? Why did you allow yourselves to inflict so much hurt and to damage trust so much before you reached out? Now, God can do incredible things, and we've seen that at Summerside, and we're thankful for that, where God restores broken relationships. But you shouldn't have to let it get to that point where you're absolutely desperate. Or think about your own sin and your own struggle. Right? If you struggle with alcoholism, right, don't allow it to go to the point where it destroys your family and it destroys everything in your life before you'll even confess that. And that goes across the board. So let me ask you, who knows you? Who really knows you? When you look around this room, the family that God has brought together, who knows you? Or do you just come on Sunday, show up, act the part, and then go home? Is there somebody here who knows you? Somebody here who is walking with you? The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. This is from Hebrews chapter 10:24. I'm going to park here for just a minute. He says this, "And let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds." That word spur means to incite or to compel or to activate towards something. Think of the word challenge. The writer is saying here that part of being in community is allowing yourself to be challenged. So let me ask you this. Who in your life knows you well enough to challenge you? Who knows you well enough to look you in the eye and speak truth to you? Is there somebody walking with you? Somebody who knows you? Somebody who knows your struggles? Somebody who can remind you that the temporary pleasure of sin pales in comparison to the beauty and glory of knowing Christ, your Lord, like we heard about in the testimonies today in baptism. Who knows you enough to challenge you? That's part of being a community, is we speak truth to one another. Right? We don't go around with a hammer crushing one another under the weight of all the things that we should be doing and all the ways that we could improve. But there is a part of the Christian life that is challenging. So who knows you well enough to challenge you, to help you, to grow? The verse continues here. He says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But what? But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. He's saying, listen, Jesus is coming back someday. So you got to challenge people. You got to challenge one another towards love and good deeds, to following Christ well. And you have to encourage one another. Here's the beautiful thing about confessing your sins to one another, to confessing our faults, our weaknesses to one another. There is both a challenge and an encouragement that comes. We are challenged with the realization that sin leads to death and that it's nothing in comparison with knowing Christ. That Jesus offers us something better. That we should not follow the old way of life. But there's also an encouragement there. There's an encouragement there because the invitation in the gospel is to come to Christ as sinners, as imperfect, as broken. So sometimes when we are struggling, we need to be challenged because we're being hard-hearted. And sometimes when we're struggling, we need to be encouraged. You know, I've met people, and I've had moments like this in my own life, where the struggle and the shame of my sin, instead of driving me to Jesus, where I find forgiveness and hope, causes me to run from him, to flee from him like Adam in the garden after they disobey. They hide themselves. And I'm thankful for my brothers, my sisters, who have challenged me to see that sin put to death, to leave that behavior behind, to leave those negative attitudes, to leave that worry behind. And I'm also thankful for those who have reminded me and encouraged me that Jesus loves me despite my failures, that he welcomes me. You'll never repent, turn back from sin, unless you're confident that God will welcome you. Think about that. You will never turn away from sin and turn towards Jesus unless you are confident that he will accept you. If you're unsure of that, if your view of your relationship with God is based on your own performance, watch out. Because here's what will happen. You'll sin, you'll fall, you'll struggle, you'll feel beat up, you'll feel shame, you'll feel guilt. And instead of you allowing that to push you to Christ, you'll hide and you'll try desperately to fix yourself. You'll try desperately to clean yourself up and hope that at some point you'll feel good enough, confident enough, righteous enough to then walk back into God's presence and just kind of pretend like all that didn't happen. And it's like a yo-yo going back and forth, or I guess up and down, unless you're really good with a yo-yo, right? Sometimes you will need to be challenged and sometimes you will need to be encouraged. And we find that in community. Here's the last one. Living to last not only means living in community because we find love and because that's where we grow, but because that's where we do mission best. Our mission, our evangelism, our inviting people to come and hear the message of Jesus, of all that he provides, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of everlasting life, an identity that's not rooted in our accomplishments. The entire gospel message goes forward best when it's done in community. When it's backed up by action. When it's lived out. When we do it with others. You can see this in Jesus' ministry, right? Mark chapter 6. He sends out his disciples, those people that he gathered around him. And he sends them out in pairs. so that as they go out, they are working on mission together. They are sharing the gospel. They are seeking and praying and working to seeing God's kingdom go forward, but they're doing it together. Think about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 28. Take a look. I'm going to put it up here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. These are like some of the most famous verses in the Bible for the church. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the marching orders of every Christian and of every church. This is why we exist, to go and make disciples. But I want you to notice something. The word you here is always plural. Right? Our evangelism, our sharing the gospel, of seeking to invite people to become followers of Christ is done best in community. I know sometimes evangelism, sharing the gospel, can be difficult. Right? It can be more than a little awkward. And sometimes, like I grew up in a church context where it was all about, you know, go tell people the gospel and go beat them up with it, right? You know, some of like the classic pitches, right? There's a couple of approaches. You could say like, you know, at Taco Bell or something. You could be like, oh, nice burrito you have there, sir. Oh, thank you. Is it hot? Yes, it's a little hot. You know what else is hot? Hell. Let me tell you about Jesus. Right? Or the opposite approach, you could say, that's a nice dog you have. He's really obedient. He's a good dog, isn't he? Yeah? You know what else is good? Not going to hell. So let me tell you about Jesus. Right? And it feels awkward. It feels forced, right? Now, sometimes God gives you opportunities to just lay it out on the line and go for it, and we praise God for those opportunities. But oftentimes, it's the long game, right? So how do we share the gospel effectively? How do we do it in a way that is natural and doesn't come off like a used car salesman who's like pushing the paper towards you and hovering over your shoulder trying to get you to sign, right? Right, if there's a used car salesman here, I shouldn't have said that joke, right? That's like lawyer jokes. I don't do those kinds of things. I shouldn't have said that. A bad salesman, right? Sometimes that's how evangelism is perceived, as somebody who has an agenda, who is greedy, who is looking just for another, you know, another signature on the line. But our evangelism is done best in community. So think about the ministries that you're involved in, right? Think about something like Friendship Circle, like Kids Camp, like Friday Night Hockey, like the Men's Breakfast, like Community Night, or Community Groups, like Guys Nights, like Women's Ministry, Seniors Events, Play and Grow. What am I missing? Youth. Yeah, obviously youth. I like that. Luke would have talked to me tomorrow in the office, I'm sure. What else? What else do we do that has to have a focus on mission? Did I miss anything? Hospitality. Fun fair, right? So we could go on and on, but here's the point. Everything that we do as a church is an opportunity to invite people on board, to pursue those outside the church, to share the love and the good news of Jesus. It's hard to do evangelism. It's hard to share the gospel. I know that. But one of the best things that you can do is live well and pursue people, love them, you know, don't be a jerk neighbor or something like that. I got a couple neighbors here today. Don't be a jerk, right? Be a good person, pursue people, and then invite them to know other Christians. Oftentimes, people are more interested at the beginning in Christian community than they are in the Christian message. Right? Oftentimes, people are engaged or curious about this Christian community long before they have this eagerness to understand the Christian message. Jesus says, when you love one another really well, that's going to be the sign that you're my disciple. Everything you do is an opportunity to invite others into that who don't know Christ. So if you have somebody in your life that you're walking with, that you're, you know, that you're praying for, that you're hoping to see come to faith in Christ because their lives will be transformed and you want that for them, one of the best things you can do is just invite them to know other Christians, and then don't blow it, right? Invite them in to those kinds of relationships. If you're having a dinner party, invite them in, right? In Halifax, Heather and I used to have parties. This is before kids. The cops were called one time, but that was because a limbo game got out of hand, and the cops showed up playing all hardball, and I felt terrible. But it was an opportunity, right? I would invite people that I barely met. I invited a guy I met in the sauna at the gym that day, right? We were talking, and he was new to the city, and I was like, all right, hey, I got a party tonight, man. It's nothing weird. Come on out. So he came out, and I knew instinctively that my Christian community, the church that I was attending, the people that were there would recognize him and would reach out to him and pursue him, would connect with him, would look for common talking points and just love him. Don't overthink evangelism. You may be doing something very simple and very routine right now, and all you need to do is invite those who don't know Christ into that to experience it so that they can see other Christians. Right? If you are born again, you have the Spirit in you. And when we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit to one another, love, joy, peace, when we live that out, that is a testimony to the reality of God's working in us. So living to last means living in community. So let me ask you, are you struggling right now? Are you walking through depression, through broken relationships, loss, grief, anger? You can't do it alone. Don't pull back from community. Lean into it. Don't run from the support that you need. Run to it. Open yourself to the people you see in this room. Stick around after, right? We got cookies and coffee. We do that so that people will stick around. It's super effective. Hospitality. I love it, right? But what about if you're here and you kind of feel like you're getting left behind, or you feel like you've fallen through the cracks? You know, we're not a perfect church. We're going to let people down. If you're here and that's you, I want to encourage you. Don't run, don't walk away, and don't give up. Help us. Open yourself up. Let people know what you're walking through. Let others carry the burden for you. That's why we're here. You cannot do it alone. In Summerside, we look into the future. And next week, we're doing two services. At what time? 9 and 11. We can't do it alone. And we're not going to. We're going to do it together. We're going to step out in faith and watch God move. And the community, the family, we're going to work hard to protect that. This is not a show on Sunday. This is a family that gathers together. And we're going to continue to love one another. We're going to continue to grow together. And we're going to continue to do mission together. We're not going to stop because we can do it together.